Listen to it fizz. Alka-Seltzer for headache.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold discomfort.
Alka-Seltzer presents the Quiz Kids.
There's our class bell, Quiz Kids, and listen closely. Here's your first question. Can you suggest a reason why Napoleon might have felt a little crowded on the island where he was exiled for the first time?
Now, there's a brain teaser for you. Can you folks at home answer that question? Well, we'll see what our representatives of the younger generation have to say in just a moment. For here they are, the Quiz Kids and the chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Bob Murphy, and hello, everyone. Well, here we go with another Quiz Kids competitive question session. And on hand to consider the puzzlers you listeners have sent in, we have Joel.
I'm Joel Kupperman. I'm 12 years old and 8th grade in the Volt School.
Dorice.
I'm Dorice Richmond. I'm 7 years old and in 3rd grade at the Lafayette School.
Melvin.
I'm Melvin Miles. I'm 5 years old. I'm going to kindergarten in Norwood Park School.
David.
I'm David Broska. I'm 11 years old and 1B at the Farragut High School, Chicago.
And Patrick.
I'm Patrick Olencon. I'm 11 years old and 7B at the Fort Dearborn School.
Say, by the way, Patrick, remember that little difference we had last week about who was the candidate for vice president of the Free Soil Party in 1848?
Well, yes, I do, Mr. Kelly.
Well, now, I want to tell you something. I checked it originally with a well-known source book, now in its 3rd edition, and after the broadcast, I checked the book again and found that my answer, John P. Hale, was just what the book said. Now, did you check it, too?
Yes, I did. I found out that John P. Hale ran on the Abolitionist Party for president, and Charles Francis Adams did run on the Free Soil Party. But the abolitionists and the Free Soils were almost the same. They wanted to get the slaves free. And so the abolitionists withdrew to the race and from the race and cast their lot with the Free Soilers. So Charles Francis Adams was the answer.
Well, now, Pat, I forgot to mention that I found that the book I checked first was wrong. We checked several other sources afterwards, and you were right, Pat. And now for that corny catch question from A.J. Hoyer of Chicago, who likes corny catch questions. Can you suggest a reason why Napoleon might have felt a little crowded on the island where he was exiled for the first time? We have two hands up, and Joel's hand was first.
Well, maybe because he left.
No, Pat?
Well, because he didn't have any elbow room.
Why do you say that?
Because Elba was the name
Elba
of the
Island. He didn't have enough elbow room. That's right. Well, I'm giving you 100% on that one. And for sending in that question, Alka-Seltzer gives A.J. Hoyer of Chicago, Illinois, one of those dandy Zenith portable transoceanic standard shortwave radios. Now, friends, this king of the portables is always a reward when the Quiz Kids answer your question correctly. If they miss, you get a fine Zenith radio phonograph combination with automatic record changer, the new Cobra tone arm, and two FM bands. So think up a question and send it in, won't you? Send it to Quiz Kids Chicago. Well, Helen Martin of Los Angeles, California, is often amused by the cute sets of names given to our little animal friends. And she asks, in what children's poem would you find animals named Ink, Blink, Mustard, and Custard? Melvin.
Custard the Dragon.
That's right, the tale of Custard the Dragon. And now then, where would you find three feathered friends named Huey, Louie, and Dewey? David.
And Donald Duck.
That's right
Walt
there.
Disney's Donald Duck cartoon.
Yeah, the three. Now, who had four pets named Andy, Candy, Sandy, and Mandy? Melvin.
Well, I have my fish's name. My goldfish's name are Andy and Candy and Mandy. Except Mandy and the shoe and I forgot the other name. Mandy and Andy.
Yes.
Well, died.
They died.
Yes, so now I only have two little fish, real little baby ones.
Oh, little baby ones,
mm-hmm.
I see. Well, then you have the...
Andy and Candy.
Well, how do you know that they are the ones that didn't pass away? I mean, how can you tell?
Well, I really can't tell too well, but Yeah, but I just tried to tell. I call him any name.
Oh, I see. They don't mind. I see. Would be quite difficult there, would it? Well, J. Eugene Brassel of New Haven, Connecticut, says that each of these songs should suggest the name of a baseball player who now has high hopes of playing in the World Series next month. You kids are to identify the player and tell us how good you think that player's chances are of playing in the World Series. And here's the first song. All right, now what's the name of that song, kids? Can you play it a little slower, Howard? Melvin?
Well, that doesn't mention a baseball player, but I think it could be Open the Door Richard.
That's just what it is, Open the Door Richard. Open the Door Richard. Well, that should give us a clue now to a baseball player's name. Joel?
Well, that would be Bobby Doerr of the Boston Red Sox, and I think he has a very good chance of playing in the World Series because there's not many games to play, and the Red Sox are in front, so they ought to win.
Uh-huh. Well, all right, let's see what we can do with this second number here. Patrick?
Well, that's Row, Row, Row the Boat.
So?
That would be Row.
What row?
Well, I don't know his full name.
Joel?
It'd be Preacher Row.
Well, do you think so? That's a good answer. I'm thinking of another chap. David?
Would it be Bamaral of the Boston Braves?
Well, no. No, I was thinking of, Preacher Row is a good answer. I'll accept that. I'm thinking of Schoolboy Row, who is with the Philadelphia Phillies. So what do you think his chances are? Patrick?
Well, I don't think he has such a good chance.
You don't,
of getting in, after all.
I see. Mm-hmm. And Joe, how are you going to say?
I think his chances are practically nil.
Practically nil, huh? Well, that doesn't leave very much more. Now, for your mystery question, which comes from Dorothea Hockey of Evanston, Illinois. Now, remember, this one is a what's-it question. The first clue that I gave you last Sunday was, sing a song of gingerbread. Now, then, you have one more minute to figure out your answer while we hear from Bob Murphy.
Well, fall begins this week, friends, a season for get-togethers, parties, and lots of fun for everybody. You won't want to miss out on a thing, and especially for a reason like,
oh, I'm sorry, Marge. I'd love to see that movie this afternoon. But I've such a headache, I just can't go.
Or,
say, Bill, I can't make the game tonight. I got an awful headache.
A headache? Sure, it's sometimes a little thing. One of those little things that can take on the proportions of an insurmountable obstacle at the moment. You're in pain, and the only thing you can think of is relief. Yes, that's what you want. And that's exactly what you can have the easy, pleasant Alka-Seltzer way. Here's all you do. Dissolve one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets in a glass of water, watch it sparkle, listen to it fizz, then drink it down. And just see how soon you begin to feel better. Yes, Alka-Seltzer is really fast, really effective, because it is completely dissolved before you drink it. And its pain-relieving ingredient, sodium acetyl salicylate, is right ready to go to work on your headache pain. And because of its effervescent base, yes, because of that fizz, Alka-Seltzer gets there fast, gives fast relief. No wonder thousands say there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer. Just try it for relief from headache pain and see if you don't agree. We believe that once you have, you'll never want to be without Alka-Seltzer in your home.
Okay, kids, come on out of your huddle now. Let's see if you've guessed the answer to our what's it question. Patrick is the spokesman.
Well, that was sing a song of gingerbread.
Yes.
Was the clue.
Yes.
Well, ginger is a spice. And spices come spices come from Jamaica. And Jamaica is a racetrack in New York. a racehorse would run on a racetrack, and we think it might be Spice Song.
Spice Song. Oh, that's wonderful, but it isn't the answer, Patty. You kids certainly have a wonderful imagination. No, that is incorrect insofar as our what's the question is concerned, but I'll have another clue for you a little bit later on. In the meantime, for this next question from Wesley S. Beard of Dayton, Ohio, you children are to imagine that you're looking over the shoulder of a famous scientist of the past and hear him musing to himself as he works. From what he says, can you identify him?
There. I have finally got one animalcule all by himself. Now nothing can bump into him. Uh-huh. What's this? He's getting thinner and thinner in the middle. He is dividing right in half. Just wait till I tell Ellis about this. Then we'll see if he still thinks animalcules break apart because they bump into each other.
David?
Well, I don't know whether I have the right pronunciation. Would that be Scalzani, the Italian microbe hunter?
That's right, Lazzaro Spallanzani. That's correct, David. Very, very good. Now, let's see what we can do with this next one.
Dr. Lazier says this mosquito that's biting my arm has bitten four of our yellow fever patients. If there's anything in the mosquito theory, I should get a good case of yellow fever.
David again.
Dr. Walter Reed?
No, but you're very, very warm. It was somebody who was assisting him. Well, it was a co-worker of Dr. Walter Reed. Give up? All right. It was Dr. James Carroll. Well, that's a miss, and that means that Wesley S. Bird of Dayton, Ohio, wins a big Zenith radiophonograph combination from the makers of Alka-Seltzer for sending in that question that you quiz kids couldn't answer. Benny Gorse of Cleveland, Ohio, has changed the names of three cities or countries into the numerical values they suggest. What place's name does each of these represent? You must get two out of three. 24 hours and 2,000 pounds. What place is named? Patrick?
It'd be ending with ton.
Ton is right, and the first part...
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton. That's right, Dayton, Ohio. All right, see if you can get the next part. $1,000 and quick-flowing H2O. Patrick again.
Well, that would be... H2O is water.
Water, so... David...
Would that be Grand Rapids, Michigan?
That's right. Grand for $1,000 and Rapids for quick-flowing H2O, which is water. Now then, the third part, the third power and the sixth tone in the scale of C. The third power and the sixth tone in the scale of C. Joe?
Well, the third power is cube.
Cube. So?
And the sixth tone in the scale of C is A.
So it would be what?
Cube A?
Cuba. Cuba. That's Cuba. That's all right, Joel. That kind of sneaked up on you, didn't it? J.S. Corbett of Highland Park, Michigan points out that the saying, like father, like son, applies to many famous composers who had sons who also became famous composers. He wants Howard Peterson to play a musical selection written by a father composer, and you kids are to answer by naming or humming a musical composition written by this composer's son. All right, Howard? Doris?
Well, I don't know, what the name of the piece was, but I think that was by Strauss, Johann Strauss, Senior.
Senior, that's right.
And I know two pieces by Johann Strauss, Jr. I know the names of them, The Blue Danube Waltz and Tales of the Vienna Woods.
Uh-huh. Well, would you like to play one of them on the piano?
Well,
that is
I don't know one of them.
Oh, I see. I see. Well, could you couldn't even hum one, huh?
Well, I don't know.
Well, all right. Joel, now you had your hand up a little bit after Doris's hand. Were you going to give us the title of this?
Yeah, one. No, I don't know the title, but I could hum one of Strauss Jr., a waltz.
All right, do that.
La, 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 la. La, la, la.
Oh, maybe Doris was wise and Well, the name of that selection, can we clear that up? Not the one that Joel just sang for us, but the one that Mr. Peterson played on the organ. Can we clear that up? Well, that's beside the point, really. It's, the name of it is Carebreaker or Sorrow's End by Johann Strauss, Sr. Well, now let's have the next one. Doris?
That's the Bach invention, number one.
Uh-huh.
Number one by Johann Sebastian Bach.
That's right. And now then...
I know Solfeggetto by... Solfeggetto by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach.
That's his son, uh-huh. And could you by any chance play that on the piano?
Oh, yes.
Oh, can you? All right, just step over to the piano now. Everybody likes to hear little Doris play the piano. There she is. Now let's all be quiet. Thank you very much, Therese. Thanks a lot. That was done very, very nicely. Now you can come back to your desk. That's a good girl. And now, kids, here's another clue to the mystery question. Remember, the first clue was sing a song of gingerbread. This time, it's a musical clue. Howard, if you please. Let's see if you can figure it out, this the answer to the what's it question. I'll call for your answer in just 1 minute.
Well, we're going to pay a late call on the Smiths now, Joe. It's after midnight. In fact, it's... Yep, it's 2 a.m. Mr. and Mrs. are just arriving home from a party, and it's the man of the house who says...
I don't see why people have to have parties when a fella has to work the next day.
Well, dear, it's your fault we're so late getting home. We could have left an hour ago if you and Steve hadn't started talking about politics.
And I'm beginning to regret those rich refreshments already.
You always do. I wonder if you'll ever learn to say no to second helping.
Okay. So I didn't say no. Just the same, I hope this acid indigestion doesn't keep me awake.
You can take some Alka-Seltzer, can't you?
I could if I hadn't used the last tablet the other day.
Now, dear, you know we always keep an extra package on hand.
Ah, yes. Their dispositions may be a bit rough-edged at this early hour in the morning, but the Smiths do have a well-run household. And, friends, it certainly can pay to keep an extra package of Alka-Seltzer handy. Yes, you never know what time of the night or day you may want it. Remember, an extra package on the side keeps a household well supplied. So when you visit your drugstore for Alka-Seltzer, instead of one, buy two. That's the wisest thing to do.
Well, kids, do you have an answer to our mystery what's it question yet? Now, the first clue was sing a song of gingerbread. The second clue was a musical clue. Right, Patrick speaks for
well,
the
kids. That song was When at Night I Go to Sleep from the Hansel and Gretel, the opera. And sing a song of gingerbread would mean the gingerbread wall that was made of the children who were changed into gingerbread. So we say it's the wall of gingerbread children.
Well, that is a part of it. But, of course, what's
it? Was it in the first place?
It was in the first place. The opera, Hansel and Gretel. That's right. Very good. That's right. Now, many historical events that form part of our American heritage have been the subjects of famous poems, children. Mrs. Wayman E. Yon, Sr. of Decatur, Georgia, wants you children to name the event about which each of these lines was written. Now, you must get two out of three. Listen. By the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled, here once the embattled farmer stood and fired the shot heard round the world. David?
That would be from the poem Concord Hymn by Ralph Waldo Emerson that was sung at the laying of the monument at Concord. I don't know what year it was. So.
Well, what other event did it have to do with, too?
Well, it had to do with the first battle of the Revolution.
The battle of...
Concord.
Concord, that's right. Uh-huh. Now then, see what we can do. See what we can do with this next one. The breaking wave waves dashed high on a stern and rock-bound coast. Patrick.
Wouldn't that be the Admiral's ghost?
No, no. I'll continue. And the woods against a stormy sky, their giant branches tossed. That would have to do with what famous event, Joel?
Is that from Evangeline by Longfellow?
No. No. No, that's the has to do with the landing of the Pilgrims at Plymouth Rock in December 1620 from the poem Landing of the Pilgrim Fathers by Felicia Dorothea Hemans. See what we can do with the third part here. We've missed one and gotten one. Up from the south at break of day, bringing to Winchester fresh dismay. What event? What famous event? I'll continue. I'll give you some more here. The affrighted air with a shudder bore like a herald in haste to the chieftain's door. The terrible trumble and rumble and roar telling the battle was on once more. And who was 20 miles away? Joel.
Well, that would be about Sheridan's ride in Shenandoah Valley.
That's right. Sheridan's ride from Winchester to the Battle of Cedar Creek. October 19th, 1864, a 20-mile ride. Well, we saved that question. I'll ask for 2 out of 3, and you gave me 2 out of 3. Now, that question on our American heritage is a fitting introduction to our special guest observer today, who will speak to us from New York. It is a pleasure to introduce the National Director of the American Heritage Foundation, sponsors of the famous Freedom Train, which has toured every state in the Union, Mr. J. Edward Chagrou.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. I would like to speak of a unique service the Quiz Kids program has rendered, of which I doubt even you, Mr. Kelly, are thoroughly aware. Last fall, you conducted an essay contest for high school seniors on the subject, What America Means to Me. This contest was an important contribution on the part of the Quiz Kids and the Miles Laboratories to the American Heritage Foundation's program to make Americans more aware of the importance of their individual freedoms and the responsibilities and rights entailed in these freedoms. One of the winning essays, written by a high school boy in Greenwich, Connecticut, Graham Finney, was inspired by the tour of the Freedom Train, the dramatic symbol of the American Heritage Program during this year of rededication. It was so moving in spirit that you had it read on the air on one of your broadcasts. Listening in was a publisher who was inspired by the essay to produce a book equally simple and dramatic on the basic document of our democracy, the Constitution of the United States. He obtained young Finney's permission to make the essay the first third of the book, and he asked the chairman of your own Quiz Kids Scholarship Committee, Dr. Paul Witte of Northwestern University, to write the rest. That small book, called You and the Constitution, so simply written and so engagingly and humorously illustrated that a small child can understand it, is now finding its way into schoolrooms throughout the country. Its possible influence staggers the imagination, because the Constitution of the United States is a modern, flexible blueprint for what we think is the world's best way of life, yet few of us know much about it. It is important that all of us know our Constitution. It is the basis of our freedom, and freedom is everybody's job. That has been one result of your Quiz Kids program, Mr. Kelly, and as an unbiased outsider, I wanted to tell you so.
Thank you, Mr. Chagrou. Such words from the National Director of the American Heritage Foundation makes us feel that we have really done something important for our country. And now back to questions, Quiz Kids. This problem comes from Dorothy Donald of Des Moines, Iowa. Her neighbor's little boy lives 5/8 of a mile from school. He can ride his bicycle to school each morning and back home at night at the rate of 9 miles an hour. He walks at the speed of 3.5 miles an hour. Now then, He is wondering how much time he will save during the entire school year of 36 five-day weeks if he rides his bicycle instead of walking. Joel?
Well, if the boy goes five-eighths of a mile at 3.5 miles per hour, let's see, that's 7.5 of miles per hour. So that'd be 5/8 over 7/2, so 5/8 times 2/7, or let's see, no, listen. He goes the 5/8 of a mile in 3.5 miles per hour. So that'd be 5/8 over 3.5, or 5/8 over 7.5, or 2/7 times 5/8, or 10/56. And he goes the 5/8 of a mile 9 miles per hour. So it'll take him, wait a second. No, I'll do it both ways.
Yeah, better
so
do it that. 10/8, both ways. Yeah.
He goes 10/8 of a mile, and it takes him 7.5 miles per hour. So it would be 10/8 over 7/2 miles per hour. So let's see. It's going 7.5 miles per hour. So that's 2/7 times 10/8, or 20/56. 20/56, and 9 into 10/8, 9 miles an hour into 10/8 of a mile. So that would be 1/9 times 10/8. So that would take him 10/72 hours. So that would be 5/14 minus 5/36 a day. Or, let's see, that would be 180. 180 plus 7, no, it's 252, 55/250 seconds, or it'd be 255/250 seconds times 180, 5 times 36. So that'd be 180 times 55/250 seconds, and 36 goes into 250 seconds, 7, and it goes into 185, so that'd be 275 sevenths, or that would be 39 and 2/7 hours he saved.
That's wonderful, Joe. I don't know how you did it. That was simply terrific, Joel. Thank you very much. That's correct. Well, children, that bell brings up this important question. Who won today's Battle of Brains? We'll give our judges a minute to answer that. And while we're waiting, here's a message about one-a-day brand vitamins.
Don't take chances. Are you sure you're getting all the essential vitamins you need from the food you eat? Remember this. Government surveys show that the meals of 3 out of 4 persons are short on vitamins. Don't take chances. Instead, take one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Lack of vitamins in your food can cause you to feel under par and run down. So take one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. 60 capsules, 2 months supply, only $2 at any drugstore. Potency guaranteed by Miles Laboratories. Lack of vitamins in your food can keep you from feeling your best and looking your best. You can't afford to take chances. Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules.
All right now, children, here are your grades. Remember, in scoring you, we take into consideration your age as well as the number of correct answers you gave. And here's something to remember, too. Whether you win or lose this afternoon, you will each receive a $100 security bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. Now then, the judges report. As a class, you missed one question this afternoon. Joel was first, David second, and Patrick and Melvin tied for third. So we're calling you four back to school next Sunday, and here to compete with you, we'll have Lonnie Lundy, age 12. Until then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Listen to the quiz kids every week, and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday on most of these NBC stations. This is Bob Murphy speaking.
Listen to it fizz.